Well, good evening. This is William F. DeVault, sometimes called the Romantic Poet of the Internet. And this is another week's installment of From Out of the City, my podcast in which I discuss poetry. We're almost coming to the end of a long run alone. Looks like we'll be picking up some new guest poets over the next few weeks. So I plan to make the best of this evening. This episode is for the week ending June 30th, 2006, and I'm glad you can make it. What I'm going to touch on tonight is something I've been doing a lot of recently, which is taking my poetry and placing it to music. And rather than make you sit through a variety of results, I'm going to talk about the process, how I did just one, and present it at the end of the show. And you can see how we got from here to there. Now, the piece I'm going to be presenting I call NQ. That's the letter N followed by the letter Q. It stands for the Nosferatu's Quandary, which is the name of a poem I authored recently, which is about an individual in flux, wondering about getting out there in the world, doing what needs to be done to stay alive, to stay mentally sane. There's a great dichotomy, a great conflict within me over relationships. I know I have not always been the best partner in relationships. I'm not physically abusive. I don't think I'm even emotionally abusive. But I can be mercurial. Plus, I have a bad tendency to pick people who are in crisis because my own innate Superman complex tells me, look, there's somebody in peril, jump in and rescue them, and while you're at it, live with them for the next 5 years. That does not always make for the best relationships. Indeed, it makes for some pretty lousy ones in some cases. But the bottom line is not my history of relationships, but about the impulse of relationships. I've often compared myself to a vampire, a Nosferatu. Not because I believe I predate on people, but because I recognize in my writing, I draw a lot of my emotional energy from the other individual or even from my synergy or vision of the other individual. And so in some ways, you could say that my relationship is sort of an emotional vampire. I amplify my own emotions, and I respond emotionally to other people's pain and suffering and intensity of feelings. I don't think I could get interested in a person who wasn't rather epic and arch. I just don't think that's in me as a person. So anyway, I wrote this poem. It got some very nice response on authorsden.com and on my blog. And I rather enjoyed it when I wrote it. And not only does it have a strong rhyme scheme, it has a strong rhythm scheme set into an 8-beat line broken into 4-beat submeasures. And I thought, you know, I gotta put that to music. So rather than record the poem and then record the music, I analyzed the poem, determined what its natural rhythm structure was. Then I sat down and composed the musical track. And initially, I built it off of a very strong bass line. And I didn't like it. So I threw in some guitar. Didn't like that. Added percussion. And I kind of liked the percussion track. But that still wasn't quite where I wanted it to be. So I experimented for several hours until I finally stripped away everything but a single solitary rhythm track, which I thought worked pretty well. But my old friend Eric Nelson pointed out that you don't want the music to be too repetitive, too boring. No matter how good the lyrics are, no matter how good the performer is, the music gets too boring, too repetitive, and you kind of lose it. And I had a really good drum track there, very good dance rhythm track. And so I dove in and I found a complementary rhythm track, a secondary rhythm track, that has slightly different intonation, slightly different features to it, a little cowbell in there. And I threw that into the mix, and the way the song opens, it opens with the original rhythm track that goes for a bit. Then the secondary rhythm track cuts in on top of that. And you barely notice it, except suddenly the rhythm seems to have more to it. Then after a very short span, the secondary rhythm goes away, and up comes the vocals. And what I did was I played the musical track through headphones as I did the reading, trying to match my vocal rhythms to the musical portion of it. And eventually what I got was a very tight, expressive reading of the poem that fit within the rhythm pattern of the music, because I had already taken into account in choosing the music the natural rhythms of the poem. You will note in some of my works on my CD, The Last Romantic Verb, I don't always pay strong attention to the natural rhythm of the music or the natural rhythm of the poem. Here I wanted something very synergistic, something very expressive, something very easy to wrap your brain and your ears around. So I put it together and I listened to it and I went, this isn't bad. But maybe I should re-record the track, because there's a couple places where my voice goes a little loud or a little soft. There's a little microphone hiss, microphone pop in there. And I finally decided not to do that. I'm very big on the organics of a performance. And as much as I may want to re-record something, if I think I've caught the mood, even if there are tiny flaws in the technical execution, I'll let them ride. Because in real life, we don't do reworks. You don't walk up to somebody you've admired for a long time and say, "Hey, I'm in love with you," and get a second chance at it. And the odds that you said it exactly, perfectly right, remotely slim. And the truth of the matter is, it shouldn't matter in real life, because all of life has its little flaws and picks. There's a terrific line in the movie and play, The Lion in Winter, where Henry Plantagenet, Henry II of England, is looking at his mistress Alice, and he reaches up and he takes a strand of her hair and pulls it out of the style that she has it in so that it dangles down. And he says, "Let's have one strand askew. Nothing in this life has any business being perfect." And that line really resonates for me. I think perfection is neurotic, even psychotic. I think excellence is good, but perfection is impossible. But anyway, after I put together the piece, I thought about it, and I said, "Well, I'm going to put this in the show next week." But I didn't want to wait till then. So what I did was, I've recently moved back onto MySpace.com and set up a musician's page for William F. DeVault and The Gods of Love, and I had placed three of the tracks off of The Last Romantic Verb on there. And I decided to go ahead and take this track and put it up there as well. So if you want to hear this as a separate track, go to myspace.com, go to William F. DeVault and The Gods of Love, and besides, you know, becoming a friend or a fan, you can listen to it there and even download the track. And you're more than welcome to do so. But anyway, so what I want to do now is I want to basically stop talking, play for you the piece, and then let you get on with your day, okay? So, without further ado, this is William F. DeVault and The Gods of Love, and the name of the piece is N.Q. The night grows long. The hunger deep. I can feel it in me as I sleep. A hollow womb of poisoned thought that floods with passion, scattered shot, that I might rise to walk the trail where lovers strive and lovers fail, will not be left to destiny. Cast off aloft to plummet fully and gather speed and gather seed, and in the end to gather need to blight the night with crippling pain until I dare.